The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other hosts or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
Welcome to Words of Change with Mark Patrick, licensed professional counselor.
Welcome to Words of Change. I'm Mark Patrick, and on this show, we discuss ideas and words and concepts that can help lead and point to positive, healthy changes in your life. And today we're going to have Friedrich Nietzsche and Bessie Smith cry over spilt milk. But first, last week on the show, I discussed balancing acceptance and change, because these are two things in our lives that can be very healthy and very helpful, and there needs to be a balance between the two of them. And over this past week, I got to thinking more about acceptance and why it was so prominent in my thinking. And so today, we're going to talk about acceptance in two different ways. So in this first segment, what I want to do is just start do a little thought experiment with you. So I encourage you to just kind of listen in and kind of think along with me here. What I want to start is by asking, think about who is it in your life who you know that you can turn to and just be completely and utterly yourself. Someone who, whatever expression you want to use, you let it all hang out, let your hair down, but you can just be you. This could be a friend, it could be a family member, it could be a spiritual leader, anyone. And think just for a minute about what that feels like for you. To be able to say what's on your mind, think out loud, feel what you're feeling, and not have to hold back. Not have to censor yourself, not have to worry about what are they going to say in response, but just to someone who is able to say, yep, I see you for who you are, and I'm not going to give you any problem about it. I'm not going to give you any hassle. I imagine that feeling that you have if you're with that person can be a very comforting feeling. And that is just part of what we mean when we talk about acceptance. So this is acceptance by another person. And I want to suggest that that level of acceptance, where someone's able to just meet with you where you are, is number one, it's a super healthy thing. But number two, it's very important that we have in our life. Now, it doesn't just have to be a person that can accept you. Certainly, some people go out and are involved with organizations, you know, whether it's volunteering or spiritual practice or what have you, political, you name it, where you're surrounded by like-minded people who get where you're coming from. And so they are able to say, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. This too can be incredibly important and incredibly healthy. And that is a distinct feeling that it can be hard to get anyplace else. Now, sometimes it can be a person, it can be a group of people or an organization that we connect with. Sometimes it can be just going out. It can be a particular place. If you go out, some people love to go out and take nature hikes. If you identify with a place, sometimes it can be restorative to get away from people and to be able to just sit and be with nature, to just be among nature. And you're not talking, you're not dealing with other people, but you are connected to the landscape, to the living things around you. This too is a form of acceptance. We think of ourselves as being separate from nature, but there are times when you can go and connect with it. And to not do harm to the landscape, but to just be a part of it, is also a kind of acceptance. Another form of acceptance that comes up is not human at all. Pets can be huge in terms of having acceptance. I've been working with a client who struggles to cope with school, who struggles to cope with mom, who struggles to articulate their feelings and to have their needs get met. However, this person has an amazing connection with their dog. And I'm not going to say anything about cats. Separate issue. I know people can disagree. Whether it's dogs or cats or anything else, the bottom line is, why have these animals been with us for tens of thousands of years? Because part of what it helps us with is to feel accepted. And this particular client, I know that that dog is huge for her. And to have that unconditional love and that expression that animals and pets tend to have, where they just keep coming back. They don't care about what you've done or what you've said or where you've been. They just know that you're you, and they provide that companionship, that affection. This is another type of acceptance. As I was writing this, I was thinking about, you know, the TV show Cheers. For a certain demographic and a certain age, you know, this was a beloved show. And the theme song is kind of smarmy, but it says, you know, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. And it, like I say, it's kind of corny, but there's something to that. There's a reason why that show was so popular. And it has to do with that feeling of connection and acceptance. And I am mentioning all these different sources of acceptance. Number one, to ask you to think about, who accepts me in my life? Where do I get that acceptance? Because it's important that we know where those sources are. And number two, we have to also acknowledge there's a flip side. Perhaps when I originally asked the question, who can you go to and just be yourself? Some of the people listening in the audience, after thinking about it for a little while, you may have drawn a blank. One of the shortest and pithiest blues songs there ever was is by B.B. King. Nobody loves me but my mama, and she might be jiving me too. So this is a feeling that we get sometimes. Sometimes, for various reasons, society or our friends or our relatives or our coworkers may turn a cold shoulder to us. We may not be able to find those sources of affirmation, of acceptance, of being able to say, yeah, I understand exactly what you're talking about. We can search for those sources, but sometimes they are not there for a variety of reasons. it just may not be there. And my point is to say that if you feel that way, if you feel that people don't really understand you, or that there's no source where you can just be loved on for who you are, you have a safe place to go. If the answer to that question for you is, I can't think of anyone, I can't think of any organization, I can't think of any pet or any place that I go for solace, it's nowhere. I would encourage you, by all means, to allow yourself, I give you permission, to say, you know what, this is a need of mine. I need to find somebody, somewhere, some place where I feel that I can belong, where I don't have to overexplain myself, where I don't have to rationalize or justify, but I just have the opportunity to just be who I am. This is a deep human need, and I think at times it can be very difficult for people to acknowledge that they really do have this need. Now, in my world, which is the counseling world, we talk about the idea of unconditional positive regard. And this is a phrase that was championed by Carl Rogers, who was kind of the founder of counseling as counseling. The therapeutic enterprise had started before that, but he was really the first major counselor per se. And his thought was, people are able to solve their own problems if they are first able to get what is called a baseline of unconditional positive regard, where the counselor is able to, no matter what, provide that support and that understanding and accept the client wherever they are, and just take it from there. But that is the baseline. And so that counseling piece at times can be important to help find, as another source of finding that affirmation, that acceptance, that unconditional positive regard is something to look for. So we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a different aspect of acceptance, not just acceptance from others, but acceptance of the utmost sort. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Mark Patrick of Words of Change. You're listening to KWRHLP 92.9 FM, your community radio station in Webster Groves, Missouri. Has modern life got your head spinning? Do you seek new directions in your life? For healing, inspiration, insight, and support, listen to Words of Change every Monday at 9 a.m. and Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. right here on KWRHLP 92.9 FM Radio 63119. We're back. This is Words of Change. I'm Mark Patrick, and it is a blessing to be with you today. In the first part of the program, I talked about seeking out acceptance from other people, other sources, places where you can find a way to be okay with yourself and to have other people support that. Now, I want in this segment to talk about another aspect of acceptance, which is very important in order for it to kind of work properly, if I could put it that way. So if we think about things that have been difficult in the past, things that are hard to wrap our mind around. And so when we talk about acceptance, it's kind of the opposite of denial. So hard stuff in life, which is part of being human, challenges us. We have to figure out what to do with it. Something painful has happened. It's frustrating. It's upsetting. And what do we do? So mindfulness practice challenges us with this phrase, which is radical acceptance. Not just acceptance, but radical acceptance. And what that means is this. When we take a look at what has happened in the past, when we take a look at those things that are painful, hurtful, frustrating, we not only accept them, we don't accept them grudgingly or halfway. But radical acceptance, the word radical means when we accept something and we incorporate it into our lives, then we take it on utterly and completely, open-heartedly, with no reservations whatsoever. And the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche talked about this when he talked about the idea of eternal recurrence, which is to say, the past repeats itself. If the past were to repeat itself over and over and over and over again, that we would look at it and say, I'm not going to change a thing. The past can keep repeating itself exactly the way that it did, and I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to change a thing. I wouldn't change a thing. It's a concept of no regrets. Now, when you think on this, kind of the first time if you've heard of it, because what I'm saying is that radical acceptance is healthy. When you think about that, a very understandable first response is, this is nuts. This is crazy. This is a horrible idea. Bad things happen in the world. People can be cruel. Wars are fought. Catastrophes happen. Earthquakes and fires and floods and you name it. And a lot of them have been happening lately. And it's painful. It's suffering. And the notion of open-heartedly and completely embracing these things and saying, no problem, I wouldn't change a thing. This is exactly how I want it, is utterly and completely counterintuitive. We are programmed biologically to survive. And so part of survival can be trying to avoid or deny things that are painful or things that seem dangerous to us. And so admitting past mistakes, for example, another great example where you can look at that and say, it's a horrible idea. Why would I want to be happy about my mistakes? Why would I want to accept my mistakes? Well, couple of things. First of all, reminder, and we talked about this last week, acceptance and approval are two different things. So to accept something is to not deny it, to own it. And it's not the same thing as saying, yay, I'm so happy I made that mistake. It is saying, I'm not going to deny that I made that mistake. I'm not going to let it threaten me. So that's the first thing, is that denial can lead to its own problems. And acceptance is not the same thing as approval. We don't approve of bad things happening. So that's number one. But number two is, when we allow ourselves the freedom to say, yes, that is exactly what happened, it frees us up from the past. So, for example, the great Bessie Smith in St. Louis Blues. The blues are an incredible art form, a great American indigenous art form. And part of what makes the blues great is that it is an example, they can be an example of radical acceptance. When we practice radical acceptance, instead of avoiding something painful or avoiding the suffering, we go straight back into it. And so Bessie Smith and many other great singers have sung St. Louis Blues. I apologize for the white guy intonation, but consider the lyrics. St. Louis woman with her diamond rings pulls my man around by her apron strings. If it wasn't for powder and for store-bought hair, the man I love wouldn't have gone nowhere. Okay? When Bessie Smith sang that, this is very specific. This is not a vague song. She has lost her man, and she knows exactly why she lost him. She lost him to that St. Louis woman and all those things that she had. The blues is an incredible art form for a lot of reasons, but one reason that I point out today is that the blues articulates the pain. It goes back into the suffering and it expresses it in detail. It radically accepts that this is what happened. This is the pain I'm experiencing right now. This is the suffering that I have to deal with. And it is in that process of singing about that pain that it's transformed into art. When we radically and completely accept, this is what happened. I lost my man. There he goes, and I know exactly why. That precision, looking at it directly, describing it in detail, this is what happened to me, this is the pain, frees us up that then we can get on with our lives. There's the old expression, don't cry over spilt milk. Which, on one level, I can understand, because basically what it's saying is, what's done is done. But on another level, there's a certain element of suck it up, right? Just deal with it. Just move on. And I would say a couple of things. First of all, if you have to cry, or if you find yourself crying, go ahead and cry. It happens. Mistakes are painful. And being able to fully experience your emotions is perfectly appropriate. You make a mistake, it's painful, you find yourself crying, go ahead and cry. That's okay. And then secondly, once you're done crying, then you can clean up the spilt milk, so to speak. And then you can figure out where you're going to go from here. There are many people who, when you ask them, how was your day? Oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. There can be a great social pressure to just say, hey, everything is great. Everything is just fine. And if you're able to let that guard down and to let that pretense go, you can at least be honest with yourself. Everything is not fine. How did your morning go? Well, you know, I was worried about this presentation I have to give to my boss. And so I was in a rush this morning. I was distracted and thinking about it. And do I have my PowerPoint together and all this stuff? And so in a rush, I spilled my coffee, had to slow everything down. Then I was going to be late. It was super stressful. So radical acceptance says, look, if we go into it in detail and we don't deny anything and we embrace what happens to us fully and completely, then it gives back to us. It gives us the freedom and the possibility that then we've accepted it, we've processed it, and it's over with and done with. And now that that's done and we know what we have to do moving forward, you know, the next time I make a presentation to my boss, I'm going to start preparing a week earlier so that when the day comes, I'm not going to be in a rush because I'll have everything lined up. I'm not going to go through this stress again. When we accept the past, then it gives us the opportunity to live in the present. And that fully prepares us to be able to move forward into the future. So it's a crazy idea, but there are ways in which absolute 100% radical acceptance of the past can be an incredibly liberating thing. So there it is. this week, I encourage you to find those people that help accept you. Seek those places out and let them recharge your batteries. And also, I would challenge you to find one thing this week that, as painful as it is, you were willing to take in and completely and utterly accept it. And see if that helps you be able to move forward. So that's the show for this week. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Mark Patrick. Be well. Stay safe. Love yourself. I will talk to you next week. Our theme music was composed by Eric Hall. You can find more of his music at www.erichall.com. For more information on counseling or to schedule a free 50-minute consultation, please visit markpatrickcounseling.com or call 314-325-1691. Until next time, I'm Mark Patrick.